Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, July 7th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Yeah, I might have you take over the program for just a little bit. I just have one little thing I need to take care of, but let me do the market report first, please. And you have gold down today at 1156. Big hitters came in today and knocked those prices down, and a lot of interesting events that are happening today. Silver was also down big today. Currently we're down 68 cents at 1517. We had a low of 1459, and I did see it just start moving up here in the last hour of trade. You have platinum down 23 at 1045, and palladium is down 32 at 652. And, of course, that was beaten down 4.75% for palladium. And they've really been hitting platinum and palladium, and I you know, and sometimes they can hit a sector, and it can affect all the areas of the precious metals. And so, you know, I'm not saying that's the main cause, but platinum and palladium certainly have been beaten down here over the past couple of days. And I think finally it also hit gold and silver, but we also have a stronger dollar. And we have that up 34 today, 0.34 at 96.58. Crude oil was up 0.81 at 53.34. And the paper markets today, they were all over the page. I believe they were triple digits earlier, and they managed to come back, of course, up 90 points, 93 points at 17,776. NASDAQ was up 5 points at 49.97, along with the S&P up 12 at 2,080. One, and we also have the 10-year yield 2.23%, down 0.05. And what was interesting, the early morning bond market, they reversed. There was calls from the IMF. We'll talk about this here and also in a little bit, to put the interest rates hikes on hold until next year. So you had the 10-year treasury, it hit a 7-month high of 2.419%, And the initial spike was sparked by a sell-off in German bonds, and that also reversed later in the trading session. And so now we have the 10-year yield, which has been dialed back to the 2.23%. So a lot of activities in those bond markets in relationship to, in which the mainstream media tags it to, the announcement from the IMF about the Federal Reserve putting a hold on these rate hikes until next year. We'll get a little more into detail about what Christine Lagarde said. And with that, you have the euro still trading at 110, but it was down 0.25. And the European markets, Germany was down 2%, London was down 1.5%. I believe the Chinese markets continue to fall. Interesting article I saw about that, Al. There was, 30%, I think, that I saw. If I managed to keep those numbers, the Chinese stocks just aren't trading. They just stopped trading. We're not going to.
That means they have. Yep. Well, it apparently means they have a liquidity crisis, yep, where they don't have anyone who wants to buy.
Yep.
Which means the price is going to drop a lot lower.
So I'll see if I can't find those latest numbers on that. But I think it was it was an astounding number. 30% sounds low, but so very interesting. So a lot of 25% of the Chinese stocks have stopped trading. That's what it was.
When you say stopped trading, do you mean that
they halted
the government has intervened and said these can't be traded anymore? Or do you mean that there's just nobody buying them?
It means that they stop them. The companies stop them. There's over 700 Chinese companies that halted trading to self-preserve. And that's according to the state media. That means about a quarter of the companies listed on China's two big exchanges are no longer trading. The Shanghai Composite Index, that's fallen over 25% since mid-June. And the Shenzhen, which was compared to the NASDAQ, is down even more. And we know that the government tried to take steps lately in order to stop this damage, but it doesn't really seem to have much of an impact. You had over the weekend over 20 of the – we talked about this the other day about going into the market. And but it doesn't seem that investors are convinced. So, again, we're beginning to see the big drops.
Well, see, we talked about this yesterday, and it turns out that there are relatively few institutions and corporations that buy and invest in the Chinese stock markets. They are predominantly – the buyers predominantly are just individual investors. Mm-hmm. Which means they can be spooked. They're not subject necessarily to analysts that are coming up and say, well, we've calculated this percentage here, this percentage there, and that means such and such, so we can make a safe bet that the market's going up, down, or sideways. It's not that. This is fueled almost completely by individual fear and greed, and it makes probably for a pretty volatile market. It jumped over 100% the last year, and now it's falling over 30% in the last 3 weeks. That's investor confidence. Plus, the government encouraged Chinese investors to invest in the market over the last year. And in doing so, the investors, they got the investment fever, and they borrowed money to invest. And now that this thing has fallen by 30%, it means a lot of the people, the money they borrowed is 30% gone. It's not as if you borrowed it to buy 1,000 shares of stock, and if push comes to shove, you sell the 1,000 shares of stock and you can pay back the loan. It's as if they borrowed to buy 1,000 shares of stock and the price of 30% of the stock has been wiped out. And now how do they repay the loan?
Well, let me give you these numbers, Al. China's stock market's lost about $3.25 trillion. Yep. And to put that in perspective, that's more than the size of France's entire stock market and about 60% of Japan's market.
Now, it's a fifth of the gross domestic product of the United States.
$3.25 trillion.
See, but
they have lost.
The flip side on that is they also doubled the market in the past year. They've lost three point whatever trillion, but at the same time in the last 12 months, they probably made 10 trillion. So now they've lost 3 trillion, so is the glass half empty or is it half full? But I guarantee you that anybody who got in there more or less late. They joined the boom in the Chinese stock market about a month ago. They're talking to themselves right now. They're saying, I don't know who made that fortune cookie, but I'm never going to believe their recommendations again.
Perhaps.
So what's next, Melody?
Well, we were going to talk about the announcement by the IMF encouraging the Fed to withhold rate hikes until next year.
Yeah, and, they actually did that a week or 10 days ago.
Well, this is the second warning.
Okay.
This is the second one that she's come out and said. And she says the FOMC should remain data dependent and defer its first increase in policy rates until there are greater signs of wage or price inflation than are currently evident based on the mission's macroeconomic forecast and barring upside surprises to growth and inflation. This would put liftoff into the first half of 2016. And but the interesting part, let me get to the part where I thought was interesting. In either case, asset price volatility could last more than just a few days and have larger than anticipated negative effects on financial conditions, growth, labor markets, and inflation outcomes. Spillovers to economies with close trade and financial linkages could be substantial. And but she also went on to say about how it would affect the markets international, these international portfolios, and the financial stability consequences go well beyond the U.S. borders. So, you know, she's talking about, you know, a major worldwide significant it's amazing that if it would have that much of an impact if the Fed raised rates a quarter point, you know. But if it does have that type of an impact for a quarter point, well.
Well, what's going to happen is if they raise interest rates over here, they will attract investors that are currently shoring up the European system. If you pay higher interest rates, you'll get more investors. That's the theory. I mean, that's at least part of it.
Well,
where
I think
they will attract investors from Europe to come over here.
Well, I don't think that's. I don't know if that's the concern, though. I think she's talking maybe about a bigger picture. Mm. You know, perhaps she's referencing like the derivatives and all the things that are the rates. I mean, are the derivatives attached so strongly to those bond? To those rates. So, anyway,
what do you think it means when they say that the Federal Reserve, when Christine Lagarde is essentially saying the Federal Reserve needs to stay data driven?
She's quoting Janet Yellen.
Yeah, I get that, but the significance of being data driven means that if something goes up, they'll react one way. If something goes down, they'll react another way. It all depends on the data. And what that indicates is that they really don't have a policy, all right, where they say, okay, we are going to implement this policy to achieve this result. It indicates instead that they are simply reacting to events. They don't have, it's like saying, we're going on a vacation, but we don't know whether we're going to go to the East Coast or the West Coast, right? Or just, it depends on where the roads go. Maybe we'll turn left and maybe we'll turn right. We don't know. It means you don't have a plan. It means that they are not in a position to really control. All they can do is react. That's what data-driven, if the data does this, okay, we'll react this way. But that does not inspire confidence. Sort of thing where you're saying, you know, they're not in control. If they were in control, they'd have a policy. They'd have a plan to say, okay, this is what we're doing for this reason to accomplish this goal. Maybe it won't, but at least they've got a plan. Data-driven, there's no plan. Just hang on. That's all data-driven is all about. Just hold on, hang on tight. Whatever you got to do, lean to the left, lean to the right, whatever. You know, it just depends on which way the roller coaster is rolling, but they're not in control.
And we're going to be heading to break here shortly. It was an interesting day in trading of gold and silver. We had a lot of people interested in purchasing silver. And the U.S. Mint came out today, and they halted the sale of one-ounce silver eagles temporarily. And, of course, when they released the information once again, premiums increased and delivery delays were created. So we still have the one-ounce silver eagles. They're a little delayed, a couple weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, no big deal. By times people's funds get in and so forth, you know, it's about that time anyway. So it may be about a week on those. But it's interesting. It's another sign of what happens when you have massive amounts of people coming into these markets and how quickly things change. You know, when things are slow and, you know, prices are just leveled off at a level, you know, and, oh, I can buy today, I can buy tomorrow, oh, I got some extra money today, I'll do it then. It changes fast.
But one thing that doesn't change is, in a positive sense, is the price of gold and silver. It is being set by the spot market rather than the demand for physical coins. And what you're telling me, or at least what you're implying, what I think you're maybe saying, is that the Mint has stopped the sale of silver eagles. Why? Because they're selling too many of them. Demand is too high, but is the price going up? And if not, why not? And the answer is because the spot market sets the price of paper gold and paper silver, and that's the prices we're talking about when we read the market prices today. That's the price of paper gold, paper silver, and it's done with paper debt instruments. And we've got a situation of the tail wagging the dog here. These paper debt instruments are wagging the physical gold dog, essentially, instead of vice versa. It should be the other way. And we can wonder how much longer this is going to continue. And in fact, we've got an article that deals with that, and we'll get into it in the second segment of the program. But there's a point coming, and that's the essence, that's one of the essential points of the argument we'll get into in a little, or the article that we'll get into in a little while. There is a point coming when the link between the price of paper gold and paper silver and the link to the prices of physical gold and physical silver, it's already strained, it's perhaps at the breaking point, and when it does break, we're going to see the price of gold go up dramatically. We're going to see the price of physical silver go up dramatically. This is part of the problem we have right now. We've got the paper price isn't moving, right? Even though demand is increasing for physical silver, it indicates that this is it even implies that this is an extraordinary buying opportunity. Demand is increasing, but price is not. It should be irrational. It shouldn't be happening. Supply and demand. When the demand goes up, the price goes up. In this case, demand goes up, price is not going up. Price is actually going down. Why? Because the paper market has dominated physical. But it's done so to an irrational degree, and we'll talk more about that when we return to Financial Survival in a moment. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom.
Holy smokes.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Thank you. you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Are you concerned about prescription drug dependency to stay healthy? Are you worried that the cost and availability of your medications may put your health at risk? Perhaps it's time you consider a natural, safe, and effective way to deal with your health problems. If only you knew where to start. Start right here. Tune in to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, I pulled up the numbers of silver eagles that were sold this month from the U.S. Mint. 2.6 million already, and mm-hmm. we've had a holiday in there. So an incredible number for that short period of time. Last month was 4.8 million. And that was the second highest month of the year so far, following January. And January is always an anomaly because of the changeover in dates and so forth. Nevertheless, they still was 5.53 million in January, 3 million in February, 3.5 in March. April was slow, 2.8 million. May was just a little over 2 million. And we had the big month of June. So far this month, we're beating what the whole sales were for the month in April. So some incredible numbers for silver eagles. And it's very much the same with gold so far this month in July. The number of ounces, and this also includes the fractional pieces and so forth, but the majority of it is done in one-ounce coins, 30,000. For the month, last month for June, there were 76,000 one-ounce American gold eagles sold, and that followed on the heels of January, which was 81,000. So an incredible month for June for one-ounce gold eagles. So something's in the air. There's a lot of people buying, and then you have all these low numbers.
Yeah, I know. And
it's frustrating. It's maddening.
Yeah, but it's a great buying opportunity.
It's a great buying opportunity.
That's what it comes down to. It's a spectacular, and some people understand that, and they're saying, I'm buying. All right, they're in, and that's why the numbers are up so high. And why is it such a spectacular buying opportunity? And the answer is because the paper markets are holding the prices down for paper gold instruments and paper silver instruments, and those numbers don't really reflect physical value at all. There have been people who've estimated as much as 100 ounces of paper gold exist for every 1 ounce that's available for delivery. Now, I don't know that that's the exact ratio right now, but the point is they're selling 100 ounces. They are selling roughly 100 ounces of paper gold for every 1 ounce of physical gold that's available for delivery. And when you look at that, that's equivalent to me selling Cadillacs. And I've got one Cadillac out in front of my little store here where I'm selling Cadillacs. And I've got 100 people that are paying for the Cadillac. And we're betting that they're not going to take delivery. All right? But if they ever do, the price of that Cadillac is going to go, it's going to skyrocket. And so long as people aren't taking delivery, we can get by with this little game. And we can allow the paper. I'm selling paper Cadillacs. And we can give hellacious deals and prices are down. People say, oh my gosh, I can buy a Cadillac, a new Cadillac for $10,000 and yay. But you're buying a paper Cadillac. You're not buying a real physical Cadillac. And when people figure this out and start to take delivery on their Cadillacs or take delivery on their gold coins, the price is going to jump dramatically. For the moment, prices are falling, and all it means is because of the disconnect between the legitimate price of physical gold and physical silver and the prices we're getting on COMEX and from the London Bullion Market and whatever, their paper gold. It's like promising to, it's a little like promising to sell Cadillacs at the price of used Volkswagens. New Cadillacs at the price of used Volkswagens. That's what's going on right now. People who understand this are buying. And ironically, crazily, right? They buy the physical coins, they buy the physical gold, and it's not pushing price the price upward. The whole thing becomes irrational, but this is not simply my observation. This is an article from Value Walk, and the headline is Gold and Silver Spot Prices Increasingly Detached from Reality. Now, this is basically a mainstream media outlet, all right? This isn't exactly mainstream, but this is a credible outlet. And the article, again, gold and silver prices increasingly detached from reality. And my reaction to that is, well, duh. We've claimed that the prices of gold and silver have been manipulated and intentionally suppressed for a decade or more. Now, I don't mean that personally I've been doing this, but what I mean is GATA has. Gold Antitrust Action Committee, they've been aware of a decade of price manipulation. The price manipulation is the reason why this article observes that the prices of gold and silver are, quote, increasingly detached from reality. That reality is a true free market price for physical gold. And we're not getting that. We're selling gold at the price, we're selling physical gold at the price of paper gold, which is just crazy. It's like selling, it's the equivalent of selling yachts for the price of a picture of a yacht. Right? That's what's going on here. And some people are seeing through this and say, no, I want the yacht. Because the yacht is being sold at the price of a paper picture of the yacht. Same thing that's happening with gold and silver. This article goes on, it says, an insolvent Greece has defaulted. Predictably, many Greek citizens responded to the crisis and bought gold coins. So did a lot of people here in the U.S. and around the world. You just wouldn't know it from looking at spot prices. the regular disconnect between the futures markets, where the spot price, and this is for paper gold certificates, the disconnect between the futures market, where spot price for paper are set, and the physical markets reveals a growing problem. We've been telling you about this for years, and we've even been saying, listen, this is frustrating and annoying on one level, but it creates spectacular buying opportunities. The prices of gold and silver are irrationally, the prices for physical gold and silver are irrationally low. Irrationally low. Why? Because they're being set by the paper gold markets. And, you know, been warning you for years, and here is a relatively mainstream publication saying, oh my gosh, the price of physical gold is detached from reality. The talk about this growing problem, the link between spot price and physical demand is thin at best. That is why the base price for gold coins in Athens Coin Shop can get cheaper, but the all-in cost of buying the coins goes up as the line of buyers grows. I think they mean it doesn't grow up. In any case, the disconnect has to do with the mechanism for setting the spot price, the futures markets. The exchanges are supposed to be a meeting place for rational buyers and sellers evaluating fundamentals and making decisions about what is a fair price. But in reality, the exchanges are dominated by major banks and brokerages employing high-frequency trading computers, derivatives, and other tools to manufacture a price. They are manufacturing a price for paper debt instruments. And the great ironic situation here is the world is accepting the argument that the price of the paper debt instruments should be the price of physical gold. And as a result, we see people, more and more people are taking silver and taking gold, and yet the price isn't rising. It's because of this wag the dog phenomena that exists between the paper market and the gold market. And the gist of this article is that link between the paper markets and the gold and the physical gold markets is strained to the point of breaking. And when it does break, this is the moment. We've used the analogy over the years where people have a beach ball and the price of gold is being held down to the bottom of the pool. It's a beach ball. But if you let go, that beach ball is going to come shooting up through the surface of the water, through the water and up through the surface of the water. It's going to jump up into the air. It's going to rise dramatically when it breaks loose. And this article implies that the break loose moment is not so far from now. Some argue that the ratio of, again, we talked about it, the ratio of paper ounces of claimed gold to actual physical gold available for delivery is in the neighborhood of 100 to 1. There's 100 ounces of paper gold that are set in price and only one little ounce of physical gold to be delivered. The paper gold dominates because we are equating that paper gold price with the physical. Is it annoying? Yes. Is it troublesome for anyone who's stacked up? If you had 100 gold coins, is it bothersome and troublesome that you're not getting a fair price on your gold coins at this moment? They might be worth $150,000, depending on how many are collectibles and how many are just bullion. You might have $150,000. If the price wasn't manipulated, the price of your coins might be worth, who knows, $300,000 or $500,000 or more. Could be. But, you know, they give you lemons, you make lemonade. If they're going to artificially suppress the price of physical gold and physical silver, all that means is now's the time to buy. Back the truck up to the loading dock. You understand? Fill the back end of my pickup truck up with gold until the axles begin to bend and the tires look like they're going to pop. And then I'll haul that gold over to my place. I'll dump it off in the front yard, the backyard, wherever. And don't you close your store because I'm going to be back for another load. They're giving the stuff away right now. And they can't do it forever. And the implication is you want to take advantage of that price opportunity. Now, here's a second story that touches on Yeah, it requires some guessing and some interpretation. We don't know exactly what we know. Something is going on, and there's parts we don't, parts we do know, parts we don't know. The headline, and this is ZeroHedge.com provided the original information. Citigroup is making a huge bet on price moves in precious metals. That's the headline. Right now, Citigroup Incorporated is loading up on options for precious metals. Zero Hedge reports that the bank now has $50 billion in total exposure, more than 10 times what it had at the beginning of the year. Beginning of the year, they had $5 billion of exposure. Here we are halfway through the year. They have $50 billion worth of exposure. Citigroup knows something is about to happen. Investors have to guess about Citi's intent, however, with regards to price. They report only the size, not the composition of their options exposure. We don't know for sure whether Citigroup are betting on higher or lower prices for gold. In a reasonable world, and from my perspective, Citigroup has to be betting on higher prices, much higher prices. In the end, how low can gold go to justify a $50 billion bet on a lower gold price? If gold fell $500, all right, another $500 and dropped down the very vicinity of $700, Citigroup can make some money by betting, by going short on that if they knew this was going to happen. But how long before gold bounced back to where it is today? And on the other hand, how high could gold go in the next months or years? 3,000, 5,000, 10,000, 50,000? Gold can't go down more than another $500 in anybody's imagination. All right? That's a big move. Right. And in fact, it would suit me just fine if the price of gold dropped to $50 an ounce. I'm so deep, that'd be terrible. Now, think of how much gold you could buy at $50 an ounce. I'm sitting here thinking, oh my God, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Price of gold goes down to $50 an ounce. Again, there's me in the pickup truck backing up to the loading dock and just fill it up till the axles start to break. All right? I'm going to take every bit I can get at that price. And when you stop to think about it, you say, that's right. Think how much gold you could buy if it was $50 an ounce right now. Huh? What an extraordinary buying opportunity. But even at $1,100, $1,200 an ounce, it's an extraordinary buying opportunity. Now, we don't know whether Citigroup is making a big bet. We don't, $50 billion. We don't know whether they're betting that the price of gold is going to go up or going down. It should be a bet in a reasonable world that isn't dominated by crooks and charlatans. Fundamentals indicate to me that the price of gold has to go dramatically higher. That's what they should be doing. If they were betting on lower prices of gold, I don't see how you can drive it down more than $500, if that's even possible. And then how long can you sustain it before you start losing a big chunk of your $50 billion? But how high could gold go? Can't go much. It can't go down a lot from where it is. But it could go dramatically higher. There are reasonable people who've talked about the price of gold going up to $50,000 an ounce. I'm not making that as a projection or prediction or whatever. I'm just saying reasonable people have bandied that figure around. But there's no question it can go $3,000, $5,000, maybe $10,000. Now that's the kind of movement. If you can get that kind of a move and you've got $50 billion invested, you can make an extraordinary amount of money. Logic suggests that Citigroup is betting $50 billion that the price of gold is going up. We don't know that to be true, but logic suggests that is the most probable explanation. And we're going to take a break, more commercials. Melody and I will be back in a moment, and we'll discuss this extraordinary buy by Citigroup when we come back. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival. Thank you.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the 3Ws.thepowerherbs.com.
Hey folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and we've been talking about this article that Citigroup is making a huge bet on price moves in precious metals. They have increased from a $5 billion investment in precious metals and options to a $50 billion investment in precious metal options just this year. Right, since the beginning of the year, they've gone up by a factor of 10. That indicates they think something big is about to happen. The question is, Citigroup betting, the big question here, is Citigroup betting $50 billion because they employ very talented analysts who have carefully calculated the fundamentals and are about to push the price of gold, physical gold, dramatically higher? Is that why they're doing this? Because their analysts say, look, this is a heck of a deal. We got to get in this because it's going to jump here in just a little while. Or is Citigroup pacing a $50 billion bet because they know the fix is in and the price of gold will be dramatically manipulated in the next few months? If Citigroup is betting $50 billion because the fix is in, then the gold market might be destined for a dramatic upswing or a dramatic downswing. It just depends on how this thing has been fixed. So long as the market is fixed, the price could go way up or way down. If Citigroup is betting $50 billion on fundamentals, they must be betting that the price of gold is about to skyrocket, because that's what the fundamentals are going to tell us. If Citigroup is betting in part because, for example, on the markets, there's 100 ounces of paper gold that are setting the price of the 1 ounce of physical gold. Sooner or later, that just, you know, it's like 50 pieces of, I've got an ounce of gold over here, and I got 50 pieces of paper in my left hand and an ounce of gold in my right hand. And people are trying to tell us that the 50 or 100 pieces of paper in my left hand are worth as much as the ounce of gold in my right hand. And it's just crazy. It's irrational, and yet we have allowed this to take place. It's one of the reasons why the price of gold has to go up dramatically at some point in the future, and not 10 years from now or 5 years from now. But is it going to happen this year? One of the other reasons I'm inclined to think that Citigroup is betting that the price of gold is going to go up, physical gold is going to go up, is because the Shanghai Gold Exchange announced last month that before this year was out, and it could happen as early as September, October, November. We're not talking about this is going to happen at December 31st. They said before the end of this year, they're going to start setting the physical price of gold, or the price of physical gold. And if they do, I guarantee that price will not be lower than the paper price, than the price of paper gold that we got out of the American markets right now. It will be a higher price. I think it's part of the reason why Citigroup is sitting back and saying, look, the price of physical gold is going up. We want to take advantage. It's going to probably go up dramatically. We want to buy under the premise that the price is going to rise. We don't know that that's what Citigroup is thinking, but it does appear it's probably so. One thing is sure, according to this article, people around the world concerned about events in Europe are turning to physical gold and silver, but those folks aren't setting spot prices. Paper market is controlling price, defying reality, creating this disconnect. They say that J.P. Morgan is in on this also. They will also be betting, but what they're doing remains to be seen. Are they betting up or down? The ounces of metal printed on the futures contracts dwarf the actual numbers in the exchange vaults. Again, they're telling us that there's 100 pieces of paper in the left hand and 1 ounce of gold in the other one. Which one do you want? The 100 pieces of paper are controlling the price of the physical gold in the right hand. High-frequency trading concentrations and derivative position make the connection between paper price and the physical supply and demand even more tenuous. The article is telling us that the link between the paper price of gold and the price of physical gold is being stretched to the breaking point. That link has allowed the tail, again, that would be the paper prices, to wag the dog, which would be the physical gold prices, for a decade or more. If that link breaks, then all the pent-up energy in physical gold should break loose in the form of skyrocketing prices. It's conceivable that Citigroup is betting $50 billion to somehow protect that link between the paper gold and physical gold. They may have some angle going on where they think they can maintain this increasingly tenuous link. And maybe that's their objective. But odds are that given particularly the Shanghai Gold Exchange is going to start setting the physical price of gold before the end of this year, could be September, October. Doesn't have to be December. If they're going to set that physical gold, we're going to see that price for physical gold rise dramatically. Those of you that have physical gold, if you'll be patient for another 6 months or so, I think you're going to see something you're going to be pleased with what happens. And those of you who look at this the way I do are going to say, hey, this is an extraordinary buying opportunity. Get in there and get it now. They're essentially giving it away. They're giving away again. You can get an ounce of gold for the price of 100 sheets of paper. That's essentially what's happening right now. That's, even though it's a metaphor, but the price of paper gold, we've got 50 ounces of paper gold over here, and we got 1 ounce of physical gold in my right hand. Which one do you want? The world is taking the paper gold right now, but the world is going to stop doing that pretty quickly. And when it does, price of physical gold, is going to jump and jump dramatically. All right, does that make any sense, Melody?
Absolutely. And, you know, folks got to remember, too, these banks, Citibank, J.P. Morgan, they ride both sides of the trade. They run it down and they ride it up. And this isn't anything new. And you're absolutely right. They have, you know, there isn't much more downside to these metals. And certainly if you were looking at a trade, you would want to take the position to the higher upside. Yep. And it's certainly
it's easier to run with the wind than it is to run against it.
Yeah. So, you'd have to say that absolutely we're very close to these bottoms and it is a great buying opportunity. And
it's borne out by the numbers you were reading from the mint.
Absolutely.
There's people who get this. They're giving the gold and silver away. That's why the Mint had to shut down sales for a while. They can't afford to give it away anymore to the extent that they have. It may be that they've just exhausted their supply. Whatever their reason is, it's not for lack of business. People are buying, and the price isn't going up. Demand is increasing, but the price isn't going up. How long can that be sustained?
Not long.
I wouldn't think so.
Not long. Here's an interesting bit on Greek. Today, the White House, Obama, and Greek Prime Minister Tsipras, they spoke by telephone this morning. And it's the first known phone call between the two leaders since the weekend referendum, of course, which Greece rejected the creditor proposals. And, you know, it's like, why are we involved? You know, why are we involved in their group meetings and so forth? And it does kind of question to the degree, the seriousness of, you know, maybe it is certainly a bigger problem than perhaps they're willing to admit. The Greek Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras, he strode into a summit of the Eurozone leaders with a beaming smile today. And, of course, the creditors were a little more angry after it became clear that he had no written proposal on how to save, his country. So the Greek banks are just days away from a potential collapse. And so they were expecting him to come up with some sort of economic reform. And instead, he said he would present a plan on Wednesday. And he says, you know, there was a promise for today. Then they're promising for tomorrow. This is what the Lithuanian president has said. And he says, for the Greek government, it's every time manana. And so, you know, Tsipras is smiling with his victory from the Sunday's referendum, and he's kind of ticking them off, and perhaps
probably hitting the ouzo a little bit too.
You see, you know, maybe.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Ouzo's good.
Yeah,
it is. I enjoy a little ouzo every now and then, but certainly, you know, perhaps this is why Obama got involved this morning, and we'll see what happens on Wednesday.
I'd bet that Obama's involved because Russia's involved.
Perhaps.
At least peripherally.
Yes.
How extensively they're involved or whether they're going to be involved. But the United States is concerned that Russia's going to make inroads into Greece. And from that perspective, we have to get in there to try to stop the Russians from making inroads. And,
well, not only that, because you have Obama working on the trade agreement with the European Union, too. You know, not just the TPP. He's working on several trade agreements. So it's probably a combination of all of the above.
Yeah, I agree. It's one of those things. Or maybe he just dialed the wrong number. You know, you hit the wrong little button on your phone and he was meaning to dial Domino's to get a pizza and he got Greece.
On his way to the...
These things happen.
No, on the way to the golf course.
Well, maybe so. Here's something from Reuters. IMF tells Greece it cannot provide money due to missed payment. The International Monetary Fund told Greece on Monday it could not provide funds to countries that had missed payments due to the international lender. Okay. IMF Managing Director Christine Lagarde spoke to Greek Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras about the Greek people's rejection in the referendum of bailout terms of international lenders. The managing director, that would be Christine Lagarde, explained the fund's inability to disperse under its arrears policy. They can't, we'd like to help you guys, you know. But our arrears policy is such that you missed one payment, and therefore we can't give you any more money. Now, that's an interesting argument, but they're telling us because Greece and Lou missed one payment, the IMF will no longer be able to help Greece. And they're saying, I think they're saying they're not going to be able to give any more money to the Greek banks. All right, this is a threat. But Greece hasn't made a single major payment on its own probably in 5 years. Every major payment was in fact paid by some other entity lending money to Greece to allow Greece to appear to pay its bills when in fact it has not. So if Greece hasn't made a single major payment on its own in the past 5 years, why does it matter to the IMF that Greece, once again, hasn't actually made another payment? The past 5 years of extend and pretend drama has been nothing but theater and fiction. The explanation for the IMF's sudden determination to be guided by its policy, gee, we can't lend to people who don't pay their bills, is seen, Paul Krugman wrote about it. We're not going to have a chance to get into this in depth, but Krugman described this as a blessing for Greece. He said the story echoed in many ways by the business press is that the failure of the Greeks to, the failure of government, the IMF and the ECB, to bully Greece into acquiescence was a triumph of irrationality and irresponsibility over sound technocratic advice, but the campaign of bullying, the attempt to terrify Greeks by cutting off bank financing and threatening general chaos, has been a shameful moment in European history. I think Krugman's right. There's more to his article, and we won't get into it. I don't think we're going to get into it right now. We're going to run out of time, but there, you know, everyone understands there's a problem in Greece. And I think Greece is perhaps doing the right thing here. There's one email that I saw from Ms. Shedlock published, and he says, someone from Greece, he said, I don't have dreams for my lifetime anymore, and I haven't even begun to live. I'm 30 years old, unemployed. For 5 years, we've suffered, and we are no better off. Before the IMF came, the Greek debt was around 118% of gross domestic product. After two bailouts, the debt is now close to 175% of the GDP. Is that progress? And he's right. The Greeks got sucked into something where they're going deeper and deeper and deeper into debt, and somebody has awakened and said, look, the solution to our problem, we've got to get out of this debt. No matter what, we got to get out of this debt. It won't be fun. It won't be easy. It will be painful. The creditors are going to try to make Greece pay big time. They're going to make them suffer if they have the opportunity to do so. At least that's the indication at the moment. They're going to come up with some cock and bull story. Gee, we can't lend you any more money because it's contrary to some policy. Ah, bunk. They could lend them as much as they need. They want control of Greece. Greece is fighting for control. Greece, in its own way, I think, is fighting for its own sovereignty. I'm proud of them. We're out of time, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Never seems to be a single penny left for me.